everyone. Welcome to We Have Spoken, the Loki podcast, season three, our final episode of season three, covering the finale of the Loki series for all time, always. Michael Grimion joining myself, Chuck P, here in the studio. He's back. He's feeling better. He's looking good.
I'm back and feeling better and looking somewhat pissed off about that ending. So we're going to fight.
We're going to fight because
we're going to fight.
I'm going to tell you right now, I freaking love this episode.
We're going to fight.
This was so good.
It's going to be a fight, everybody. Your two dads are about to have a podcast fight. This shit's gonna get ugly. I'm not happy.
I don't understand why you're not happy, but I'm just not happy. All right. So let's go to our regular format. We've gotten off our regular format the last couple episodes. So for Mike's sanity, we'll get back to how we do this.
I need to think in a line.
So the interesting thing, the way this episode starts off with the Marvel Studios logo that normally starts with the Marvel music intro, different this time. You're getting voiceovers from Marvel characters throughout the cinematic universe, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
And I was trying. When I watch the episodes, I watch it with closed caption because I'm always looking to try to catch something. And I didn't really pick up on anything that led to something in the episode.
No, I didn't see anything or hear anything that made me think, oh, that's some sort of big giveaway or anything like that. I thought it was funny. A few of them were actually funny. You know, they did the, you know, dance off Star-Lord line, and they had I Can Do This All Day, yeah, from Captain America.
They had Korg.
We're going to get in the ship. Get out of here.
When we come with this, we're going on a ship.
I didn't hear anything, and then it started all blending together. I think that's the whole point. And it was just like, okay, so this is our timeline, is what I assume we are seeing or hearing the snippets from.
Yes, but then when it goes and you see the full Marvel Studio logo, then it starts going in reverse. Like, it's like the voices are going backwards. And it leads into where it draws back in, and you see the Earth, and then it's going like through the universe, and then goes back to like the beginning of time or something or whatever. And there's like an explosion, and you see a galaxy form, and then you see another galaxy form.
Did you see the spaceship? Was there a spaceship or a plane or something there for a second when it was?
So at the end of the last episode, when they're walking into where the Citadel is, you see there's a few spaceships flying around in the background. That is when they recapped the entire series, and they show Loki and Sylvie walking through Eliath after they've enchanted him, it, whatever that thing is. They're walking towards the Citadel, and you see a couple of spaceships flying. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I just watched the episode before I came here, so I didn't want to stop and go, what was that? But I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the opening credits, because I feel like there was an out-of-place plane or ship or something right there. And it was, I guess, it was meant to simulate the Big Bang, you know, which is, you know, all matter condensing upon itself until it is, you know, collapsing in and on itself. And then, boom, explosion,
yes.
New universe kind of deal. So, that part, fine. There's the timeline. And then we see there's another universe right next to it.
Yeah, so right there, look, multiverse.
Right,
like they're throwing multiverse. It in your face.
Yes. Well, I mean, we've been expecting that, I guess, from the beginning.
Yes.
So we see our intrepid duo standing in front of this giant castle, or I don't know, Citadel, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sylvie gets up there, and she's like, she steps forward, and Loki steps back, if you didn't notice.
I didn't notice he stepped back.
Stepped back, and then she stepped forward. And I was just kind of like, there's a lot of that in this relationship. I feel like he's always playing to the safe side, and she's more driven, which we see very much plays out in this episode.
Yeah.
And she steps up and she says, aren't you going to tell me not to kick the door in? And he's just like, I'd tell you, but when do you ever listen to me? You know, it's not going to do any good.
Wasting my time.
You know, and then she's like, yeah, but at least you could say it. You know, it's kind of like, I don't really want you to do anything, but I want you to pretend like you would do something or care or show that you care. I mean, it's a very eighth grade boyfriend, girlfriend moment, you know. You know, tell me that you like me. But you already know that I like you. Well, say it anyway.
You have to say the words.
It matters.
Yes. So while they're sitting there deciding how they're going to enter the Citadel, the doors begin to open.
Right.
And at first, it was because the way the Citadel looked, like it was cracked, like there was cracks all through it.
Right.
So I didn't know, like, I figured the doors were going to crumble, and they just went in. But the doors open, they walk in, they enter this little room with a couple of statues in it, and then up pops Miss Minutes. And I'm like, is she the bad? Is she behind all this? Because that was a theory a lot of people were saying.
Yeah.
That Miss
Minutes.
Like
she was the avatar of the bad guy or the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought that too. And I was just like, there's going to be some people like going, I told you so.
But so it's many not. People. So many
it's
people.
Definitely not. I was trying to figure out who the cloaked, hooded statues were.
Me too. Would it look like at one point I could see there was a clock face under one of the hoods?
A clock face.
Yes, like you can see the bottom of a clock face. So like when Miss Minutes popped up, I was like,
oh my God,
she's running the TVA. What the hell?
It was her all along. It was Miss Minutes all along.
New song.
A new song.
But obviously, it wasn't Miss Minutes. She is kind of the I don't know. She's working with remains, as she refers to.
Yeah, yeah. To
who's running all of this stuff, and she tells them, like, we can fix all this for you. We can put you back in the timeline.
Right.
And Loki's like, That's bullshit. She's like, no, you want to kill Thanos? Done. You want the Infinity Gauntlet?
Got it.
You want to win the Battle of New York? We can make it happen.
We can do that.
And Sylvie can be right there with you.
Yep.
And, of course, they're both like, it's all lies. It's all bullshit. Like, we set our own destiny. And she was like, yep, good luck with that. She disappears.
Right.
So they continue to walk forward through this Citadel. Meanwhile, back at the TVA, you see Renslayer in her office going through paperwork, trying to find files and all this stuff. Miss Minutes pops back up. And she's like, sorry, I had to handle some stuff. Now I'm back. So I'm downloading the files that you wanted. And Renslayer grabs the tin pad, and she's looking at it, and she's like, this isn't what I've asked for. And Miss Minutes goes, no, but he thought this would be something you'd be interested in reading.
He thought this would be more helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, what does that mean? And Miss Minutes just takes off.
She's like, peace, bitch. And I got shit to do.
I'm out, bitch. What up? So then it goes back to the Citadel as Sylvie and Loki are in another room, and you see they hear a noise. And they see a door at the end of this room, and the light's coming from underneath it. And you can hear it. It sounds like an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
The door's open. What do you look? What, you
okay,
got
before we do that.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're about to get to this point. But so they're standing in this room, and there's three statues that are standing that are the timekeeper's statues, right?
And then there's a
fourth statue that is collapsed and broken and on the ground. So here was my thought was there were four. There is now one. He is the one who remains of the four original timekeepers and used them as a – that was my initial theory, obviously, until the doors opened.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I can kind of see where we might be going with this. And then they were like – hard left turn. We're not doing that.
Yeah, because I thought that was going to mean something.
I thought for sure it was going to mean something.
And it still may. We just don't know. But the doors open, and lo and behold, what a lot of us thought, because they've been leaving all the Easter eggs out there and making it super obvious.
Blow and Leehold.
What?
You said lo and behold. I said blow and Leehold.
It's He Who Remains. It's Kang.
It's got to be Kang.
No, it's that's the actor they hired for Kang. That is Kang.
He does not say his name.
He does not. He never refers to himself as Kang. And he tells him, like, I've been known by many names.
Yeah, I mean, they get to that point when they go up and think. So they get in the elevator. He's like, hey, once you get in the elevator, he's like casually eating an apple.
Yeah, let's talk.
And he's like, this knives out, you know, the whole time. Hey, and he even like stands there in front of them, and they're pointing their knives at him from behind.
Yeah,
and he's just like, no worries.
Yeah, and they try to swing at him, and he teleports or whatever.
He just yeah,
and just moves,
zips around.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm not hating where we're going. I'm expecting something bigger. So where we end up is the part that I dislike.
Okay. Well, I'm curious about that. So we'll get there because I don't know why you hated this. But
how long have you known me? How much does it take for me to hate something?
Not long. You hate everything.
I hate everything.
They called you hates for a reason.
That's right. Mike hates Grimmion.
Yeah. That's why we had Grimm's Gripe of the Week on the old podcast.
That's right.
So he sits down with Loki and Sylvie, makes them some tea.
Yeah.
Talks to them about what's going on and
invites them to sit. Slowest sit down ever.
Very slow sit down. And he eventually he starts talking about how he came to be where he is in the void in this citadel. He was a scientist from the 31st century.
Well, first he tells them that he's seen all this and how you think I know all this shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, look, here. And he pulls out like a couple of pieces of paper and he's like, look, it's the conversation we were having.
Yeah, it's like papers that
they have to sign. Yeah, yeah. But except it's the stuff that just happened and is happening.
Yeah.
And you know, he's like, oh, it's a trick. Loki's like, it's a trick. Of course it's a trick. You know, it's always a trick.
Yeah.
And he's just like, nope, been here, done this. It's happened before.
Yeah. This is how it's going to go down. So he tells him he's a scientist from the 31st century, and he discovered there was a multiverse. There were other universes
parallel
to theirs with a variant of him on each of these universes. So eventually, they all found a way to create these doorways so they can all meet each other and work together. But then there were some that had other ideas of what they can do instead of working together for peace. They wanted to control these parallel timelines. So a multiversal war began. And this version of, we're just going to say it's Kang. He who remains.
Well, he says, I'm from the 31st. So we know that Kang was from the 31st millennia, right? Yeah.
31st century.
Century.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got my numbers mixed up.
It's fine. It happens.
I'm rusty. I missed a week. And he's like, I've been known as many things. And he says a conqueror, which we know, Kang the Conqueror. So it's definitely him. I just don't like, I don't like the way this guy was playing him.
He was very aloof and very just like, now, you have to remember, as he said, there's different versions of him. So
right.
This is a version. This isn't going to be the version they end up dealing with.
This isn't the super bad. This is just a kind of bad.
It's the happy-go-lucky.
Kind of bad.
Yeah, kind of bad. But to put a stop to make sure that one of these other Kangs doesn't get into this timeline to corrupt it and take it over, he created the TVA. And the Minutemen to watch over the timeline, so when it branches off, they clip these branches so there's not multiple of these other hymns that show up to cause chaos. And he basically lays out to them, you have two choices. I can turn over all this to you. You go back to the TVA. You explain to them what this is, and you guys control all of this now. You run the sacred timeline to make sure it doesn't branch off. Or you can kill me. The timeline branches off, and then you have to deal with infinite numbers of me causing chaos and havoc and bringing back the multiversal war and destroying everything. So they're thinking about it, but Sylvie she's bent on revenge. She was taken from her timeline, her whole life thrown away. She's been in hiding all these years running for her life. She's not... She doesn't want to rule. She doesn't want to take the throne. She's there to kill him. So she makes her decision, and Loki kind of pulls her back, like, hey, let's think about this. Like, come on. Like, do we want to deal with this? Like, we can control all of this. And she's just, of course, you want power. You want the throne. And he's like, no,
Loki's
I don't.
Loki's like the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Exactly.
And she thinks immediately that he's going to betray her. Or Sylvie thinks that Loki's going to betray her and that he only wants to rule and that's all that matters to him. And so they get into a scuffle that turns into a, you know, close talking match where they're throwing swords around and, you know, they keep putting the blade to each other's neck and they're like daring the other one to do it and neither one can do it. She gets away at one point and heads for the desk, and Loki pops up between her and the desk and basically just throws his sword down and says, I don't want to rule. I don't want to fight. I don't want anything that would hurt you.
Yeah. She's not buying it, though. She's not believing him. Because
she says, I'm not the same. And he says, because you can't trust.
And I'm not to be trusted.
And I can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while all this is happening, back at the TVA, Renslayer's still trying to get papers together and make her escape. And our boy Mobius shows back up.
Mobius.
He's not happy because, like, you betrayed me. And she's like, no, you betrayed me. Like, I'm here to make sure, like, I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You betrayed me by listening to these variants. I can't, like, you've ruined everything for us. And Mobius is like, I'm going to stop you. Like, you're not leaving. You're not making your grand escape. Well, he gives it a shot. She kicks his ass to the floor.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And apparently it's not the first time because he says, here we are again. Like, he's back on the floor. Like, apparently there was some, like, either he remembered something or there was a confrontation with him too maybe early on. I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, it's basically... She wins again, you know, or she beat him again. And he's just sort of like, okay, so you got me again. Here I am again at your mercy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? And basically saying, last time I was in this position, you pruned me, you know, tried to kill me. So what are you going to do now? And this time she's just like, well, I'm just going to peace out of here. And she said, you know, they talk about free will. And she says, the only person that has free will is the person in charge.
Yeah.
So on the way out, when he asks her where she's going, she says, going to find free will, which means she's either going to take charge or try to take charge or find the person that is in charge, you know, I guess of some sort. But
yeah, there's a lot about free will throughout this entire episode. Sylvie and Loki have that conversation about free will as well. Mm-hmm. But before Renslayer takes off, she tells Mobius, like, they're like someone's going to be here any minute to take care of you or whatever. And he's like, no, I've got this covered already. And it shows B-15 back in 1998, I believe the year was.
No, it was 2018.
Was it 2018? I thought it was 1980. It was 2018?
It looked like it was 2018 when I saw it.
Okay, well, maybe so. They're at a high school, and B-15 is being chased by the other Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into this office, and one of the guys shows up, and he's like, I got you, basically. And she's
right.
Like,
gotcha.
She's like, hold on, things aren't as they seem. Just give it a second.
Tag.
And then in walks Renslayer.
Yeah.
Her original self, I guess. They've traveled.
Well, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
A variant. All that matters, it doesn't matter if it's her before or after. It is her. There's a variant of her, which is to say she was not created by the timekeepers. Thus, none of them were created by the timekeepers. Thus, they're all variants and they are all taken from their homes and their timelines. That's the inference from that. Because they are not supposed to be variants. They are supposed to be specifically created arbiters of the timekeepers' will.
Yeah.
That's what they have been led to believe and told to believe. That's you know, the dogma, as Kang says.
Yeah. So, all right, I looked it up. You're correct. It was 2018. They show up at Franklin D. Roosevelt High School. So now you know where that pin came
from. Right. You see the cup full of pins on the desk.
Yes. So B-15 leads the Minutemen in there. They see her walk in. And on her desk, there is a plaque with her name on it. And her name is Rebecca Tormene. That's the name that she had before she became Renslayer, proving to these Minutemen now that we're all variants. We were all pulled out of these different timelines to work for the TVA. So that happens. Back to the Citadel. Sylvie and Loki fighting still. Finally, she decides, she makes her decision on what she's going to do. She opens a portal, throws Loki through it.
Kisses him first,
which was a big deal. It's basically he's kissing himself, kind of.
Well, what he said, this is when he said to her about, like, he doesn't want to hurt her. All he wants is to make sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about, is that she's okay. And she puts her sword down and grabs him and gives him a big old kiss of himself. And then, boom, opens the door, pushes him through it. Says something on, I can't remember.
I can't remember what she says either. Pushes him through the door. He ends up back at the TVA in Mobius's right. office, it looks like. And it goes back to Sylvie. She throws the desk out of the way, and she stabs He Who Remains. And he looks at her, and he winks. He says, I'll see you in a little bit, or I'll see you in a little while, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So he dies, and then you see, even before he dies, the timeline has started to branch off. All these different
right.
timelines are happening. Now it's in full effect. They're branching out all over the place. And I was sitting there watching them going, that's probably the X-Men timeline. There's the Fantastic Four timeline. There's the Spider-Man multiverse time. That's the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man timeline. Like, all this shit that's happening right now, I'm like, here you are, folks. We're laying the groundwork for Phase 4. We're dealing with the multiverse going here on out. I don't know how that's going to affect anything going forward, but we'll get to that in a second. So,
well, one of the things that Kang had said earlier in the conversation before everything got all stabby, he says, do you feel that? We just got to the point or something. Like, we got to, you know, we...
Yeah, he said he had fibbed. It's like, I don't, like, I...
He knew everything up to a point.
Yeah, to like five, six, seven, eight, 9 seconds ago.
Right.
Like, I knew everything now.
And now this is uncharted territory, right? This is new, and he didn't know what was going to happen, so he didn't know how to react. But I think part of him was ready, obviously, to quit. I'm ready to get into the shit that aggravates me. You got other stuff to talk about?
Well, I was going to get to when we go back to the TVA. And Mobius and Loki sitting there with this fucking distraught look on his face, like, it's like, I don't know what to do. And then it kind of hits him, like, I need to find Mobius. So he takes off. He's running through the TVA to try to find Mobius. He comes across Mobius and B-15 in the archive section, I guess, where all the files and stuff were. And he runs up to him and is like, look, we made a mistake. We've created a disaster. There's going to be, like, an infinite number of these variant He Who Remains people coming through here. We've got to figure out a way to stop him. At that point, Mobius looks at him and goes, hold on a second. Who are you? Are you an agent?
You're an analyst, right?
Are you an analyst?
What,
yeah.
What department are you in?
Yeah, and then B-15's like, we need a team down to archives. And at that point, I was like, holy shit. Like, he either got thrown back into a different timeline because they'd already started branching off when she threw him through the portal, or shit has already changed so much. And you see it's changed so much because as Loki glares off and kind of stares out, his eyes get wider, the expression on his face changes, and they show the inside of the TVA where normally the Timekeeper statues were. There's a giant statue of Kang.
Yep.
Credits.
And well, I mean, before that, you see when he runs up on Mobius and B-15, you can hear them saying, look at it. It's getting out of control. What's he doing? Why is he waiting? You can hear him say, so you can, you know, they're already referencing whoever's in charge now, which would be Kang. I thought it was going to be that we were going to see all the variant Mobius. Because, you know, in the comics, like, the entirety of the TVA was basically all the middle management was Mobius, and it was just variants of Mobius over and over and over again. So I was just like, oh, did he just run into the wrong area, and he found a new variant of Mobius and B-15? Like, is this just a different section that they're in? And you know what I mean? Like, we've mentioned over and over about how many there are, how many buildings there are, and how many people that have to be in there to be able to manage the timeline like they do. So I just thought perhaps we were going to see that's what that was, you know?
Yeah.
And that they were going to pan around, and then there was going to be, you know, Mobius and B-15 over here doing something else, and another Mobius and a B-17 and whatever. Bingo.
Bingo. If you had that on your card. That last shot of Loki seeing the Kang statue right there had a lot, to me, of Planet of the Apes vibes. Like, at the end when Charlton Heston's on the beach and he sees the Statue of Liberty coming out of the sand, realizing, oh, shit, I've been on Earth the whole time. I got that. Spoilers, by the way, for a movie that came out in 1969.
Oh, my God.
Right. That's the vibe I got when the look on Loki's face when he sees that Kang statue. Okay, so let's get to your big gripe. Let's hear why you're so mad.
I'm upset with the way that this ended.
Okay.
Okay, we still don't know anything about Sylvie, why she was pruned in the first place. That is not a definitive enough answer to say that he basically led the two of them to this point, and that they had to grow and go through all these things to get to the point where they could be the two that ran. Because if that was the case, then they would have run it and not killed him. Okay? I don't like that. I don't like that we call yourself fucking Kang. Just do it. Just fucking do it. Just say your name. I don't want to do this dancing around it shit. Just put it out there. Okay? There's no... I understand there's going to be another season.
It has been confirmed.
Yeah.
Season two.
The fucking... credits. The bonus scene? What kind of bonus scene is that bullshit? It was bullshit. Bullshit. I'm upset.
Obviously.
I really was... Am I happy there's going to be another season? Sure. This is not the way you end a fucking season. I just feel like that there's so much that's just unknown.
Exactly. There's a season two coming. You end it on a cliffhanger because there's a season two coming.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. At all.
Here's why I loved it.
Because you're dumb.
No, because I'm not dumb. As I said... This sets the groundwork for Phase 4 and what's to come. Think about this, okay? Wrap your head around this thought. What's our next Marvel series on Disney Plus?
What If.
It's What If. Now, before the ending of this episode, everyone out there just assumed What If is just based on the comic series telling these different stories of what could have happened in these different timelines.
That's what it is.
These timelines have been created now. What If is what happens in these timelines after they've branched off from the sacred timeline.
It was always that.
It wasn't always that, because you didn't know that's how Loki was going to end.
It was always, What If was always a, you know, this is great, but what if... Such and such. Not it actually fucking happened in some timeline.
But now it is actually happening.
Well, okay, there's infinite opportunities for that shit to happen. But I'm just saying, What If had always just been the kind of like the nerds, you know, hey, nerd, what if this nerd and that nerd had gotten together and it had another nerd? It's just another, it was just a big nerd baby is all it was.
But it's not that anymore. Now, because of the timelines branching off, What If becomes canon, because these are stories from these timelines.
It's not like, hey,
guys, what if this would happen? Oh, that'd be cool. No, I 100% promise you, What If becomes canon. With those storylines, you're going to see more stuff come out of What If that's going to be a part of the Marvel Universe. That is the way to introduce different versions of characters into the Marvel Universe. Maybe Peggy Carter comes back, and she's Captain Carter, and she's brought into the Marvel timeline. She's into the main MCU.
Well, they were going to do that. They could do that anyway.
But now it has weight to it. Now it means something. With Cap gone, he's dead. She comes from this alternate timeline. Now she's in the MCU as the new
Captain. We already have a Captain America. Thank you very much.
Well, she shows up in Captain America 4.
We already got one. Just saying.
We already got the one. But now we have to deal with that. The implications of Peggy Carter showing up in that. WandaVision was always meant to be a miniseries that would branch off into Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. Falcon and Winter Soldier goes into Captain America 4. This just opens up Phase 4 because Shang-Chi is movie number one of Phase 4. Black Widow was not. Black Widow was just a prequel of sorts, a story for Natasha. Shang-Chi kicks this whole thing off. Didn't you find it odd that in the Shang-Chi trailer, there is a scene where Wong and the Abomination are having a fight? What do Wong and the Abomination have to do with Shang-Chi?
We don't know. We ain't seen the movie yet.
Exactly. We don't know. But maybe, just maybe, it has something to do with the sacred timeline branching off.
I don't fucking think so. Because they already exist in this quote-unquote timeline. So it just could be like fucking Mortal Kombat. And they just put a bunch of people on this island. And they'd be like, Mortal Kombat!
Okay.
And it's Abomination versus...
Fair enough.
Wang.
What about this?
Wong.
Wong. So after Shang-Chi, we have the Eternals. Now, it was said in the trailer that they have been in hiding. They'd never interfered with anything until now. What do you think would cause the Eternals, this ancient race of aliens that have been in hiding? They didn't come out to do anything about Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and the Snap. They still stayed hidden and didn't interfere. What happens that's so bad that makes them come out of hiding? It's the fucking sacred timeline splitting into different timelines.
There was never a sacred timeline until this Kang created it. It was unnecessary. There were already multiple realities existing independently of each other.
Okay? Yes, exactly.
Until the 31st century when this jagoff decided to go and Rick Sanchez and go bopping between fucking realities and go fighting himself. Okay? So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
Because it doesn't matter because it's happening in a completely fucking alternate reality. Who gives a shit?
How do you know it's a completely alternate reality?
How do you know it isn't?
Because the timelines are split. We have multiverses being created.
You don't know shit.
We have multiverses being created.
You don't know shit. So what? So what if they're being created? So what?
That's what's so
there
awesome about
no
this.
There is no one timeline, bro. It ain't supposed to be.
But there has been for millennia because
this
Kang
guy
has been,
this guy forced it.
He did force it. But now
it ain't supposed to be. The natural order of it is not supposed to be one.
Maybe not. But now they're branching off. And that's why this is so important to establishing Phase 4. And I get to my final argument for this damn thing.
So what you want is the Eternals to reestablish the sacred timeline? Is that what you want?
No. I'm not saying they're going to come out and try to reestablish the sacred timeline. But
that's what you said.
No, with this happening, it's so important to the whole overall theme of the MCU and the universe. They've got to make themselves present because maybe the way Kang had the timeline, it was keeping the deviants out of this MCU timeline. Now that everything's branched off, the deviants have found a way to come to the MCU in this timeline to Earth to destroy Earth and take it over.
We're going to find out eventually.
And this also leads into Spider-Man No Way Home. We've heard all the rumors from day one. Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are rumored to appear in this movie. Alfred Molina has already confirmed he's back as Doc Ock. We know this.
They could just be using Into the Spider-Verse as the basis for that storyline without this being involved at all.
Well, they're doing an Into the Spider-Verse 2, which is going to continue that storyline. And you got to think about this. That's Sony.
I understand
that. That has nothing to do with the MCU, with this Into the Spider-Verse. Eventually, it's going to make its way in there. I'm sure we'll get a Miles Morales Spider-Man. Now, and I say that, but Sony is also Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
And they're in this one, too.
It's not confirmed. It's not confirmed.
You fucking said it was.
No, I said it was rumored that they were in the movie. Sweet. The only one to confirm is Alfred Molina confirming he is back as Doc Ock.
And he was in a Sony Spider-Man.
He was, but Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield have not confirmed they're in a movie.
Well, of course they're not.
Marvel has said they're not. Sony has said they're not. Alfred Molina said he was, and nobody batted a fucking eye. Nobody said anything.
So why is it okay if he was from Sony and not okay? You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not making any sense.
I'm not saying it's okay that he's from Sony. I'm just saying you're talking about Into the Spider-Verse being the gateway for Spider-Man No Way Home. I don't see that.
I'm saying that that movie laid the concept out for Spider-Man universe.
No, because Sony's been trying to make a Spider-Man universe since the Andrew Garfield movie. They were setting up for the Sinister Six. They were doing a Silk movie. They're doing a Morbius movie. They've been building their own Spider-Man universe. The problem with the Spider-Man universe for Sony is they have villains and they have Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
So you need more heroes, which is why they are getting introduced probably, I'm going to say probably because it hasn't confirmed, the other Spider-Mans, in this movie coming
Irving
in November.
Spider-Man.
In December.
Irving Spider-Man.
Which leads into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I just think you want it to be.
No, dude, it's there. They've laid the groundwork. All this is going to lead to a Loki series next year that's going to come out. And it's also that where Kang, I feel like, is going to be more prevalent in that series, which is going to lead into the Wasp and Ant-Man Quantumania.
Well, all of these things are going to happen, and they'll have some thread that brings them together.
You just saw the thread. Sylvie kills this Kang, and the timelines branch off.
Okay, not an issue. The timeline branching is not something I give a fuck about.
You're just mad because they didn't reveal Sylvie's backstory.
That's not it. It's not the only thing. I just feel like it was not. There was just nothing concrete about that ending that I enjoy. I did not enjoy it. I did not. You cannot tell me I liked it.
I didn't.
Fucking fight you.
I'm not saying you liked it. I'm just saying I don't understand why you didn't like it.
To not like shit I don't like.
It ended on a cliffhanger for the next season.
I just didn't like it.
You're nuts.
You're fucking crazy.
Whatever. We got an email.
Man, don't be.
I'm getting you off of this dumb train that you're on of hate.
You're dumb.
let's talk about this email.
Man, if you thought when I fucking was right about the power broker was bad, don't let me be right about this, bitch. I will be out in front of your house with a fucking megaphone.
I don't know what you could be right about.
I'm telling you.
I don't know what you could be right about.
I'm telling you what I'm right about.
I was right. It was Kang, but I mean everybody was because Marvel everybody just right. laid it out there for everyone.
Okay. We got a email from a listener. And this is actually we're going to read this, and I do want to say something before, and all podcast joking aside, we got a notification that we have reached 1,000 downloads.
We have.
And that was pretty awesome, because I'm pretty sure it's not my mom.
It's definitely not my mom.
And I've probably, you know, even with listening to each episode at least once myself, that would still only be a few. I did peruse last week's episode a lot, waiting for you and Jay to say bad shit about me so I could come in here and
we didn't
come
say
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But I was waiting for it.
I don't know why you think we'd do such a thing.
I know you. That's why I think you would do such a thing.
Whatever.
But no, we got a notification and 1,000 listens. The Mandalorian season finale getting the most, close to 200.
I mean, obviously that's going to be the popular one.
Yeah, well, you know, still, that's not the only one, and it's not the only download, so we appreciate all of you that are listening.
Absolutely.
We appreciate y'all coming along with this weird little thing we're doing. And if you do want to reach out to us, we have an email address. It is wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com. We Have Spoken Pod 23 at gmail.com, and you can send us email, and we might read some of it on the air.
No, we'll definitely read it if we get it. Like,
have you not read this email that we
got? I have not.
All right.
I was going to read it, and you told me we had an email. I was going to read it. I said, no, I'm going to let Mike read it on the show so I can hear it.
I'm going to read the email on the show titled Love the Pod.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Right?
I like that title.
From in the email address is Patrick. I'm going to get his last name's at the end. So it says, guys, love the pod. Found out about it through OTB, which is Off the Bench, which is a local radio show here in Baton Rouge. And it's also, I think, they do on YouTube as well.
They do have a YouTube channel.
And he says he is an LSU alum and Louisiana native living in Austin, where he moved after leaving the Army. He says he's loving the show. Started with the Loki episodes, then worked his way through Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then Mando Season 2. On the key episodes, because he wanted to hear what we thought about the scenes that he loved. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Which I think is what a lot of us want. We want to hear somebody else geeking out about the shit that makes us geek out.
Absolutely.
So he says, I was jumping up and down on the sofa when Luke showed up, back to being a kid again. Nice. You know, which I feel, brother.
Same thing.
Feel you. I was obsessed with Star Wars at one point and read the Zahn books.
Nice.
Dark Empire comics, which I'm not sure, which should be Luck from Mando time frame. I'm not sure what that, he got a little.
Dark Empire takes place after Return of the Jedi, where Luke stumbles upon a planet where there is a clone of the Emperor, and eventually ends up Luke turns to the dark side. For a brief period. Because
that dude was out there force crushing AT-ATs, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I have the graphic novel at home.
So, even read the New Order books with the Yuuzhan Vong. I'm not familiar with that.
The New Republic?
New Order books.
New Order. Mm-hmm.
Disappointed they didn't use that story. Could have been so much more interesting. So, dude is a legit Star Wars one.
I like it.
You know? Seen the great Marvel movies 5+ times, Infinity War and Endgame 10 times each, probably. It's just nice to have some guys from the old hometown to share these things with, as it were. And if you ever need content for the show, and this is actually a good idea, how about Rebels key episodes?
Ooh, I like that.
He says, it bugs me how many fans haven't seen that show. Kanan has one of the best on-screen deaths of all time, which I...
Spoiler alert,
but...
it's, yeah.
100% agree.
Yes, absolutely.
Kanan, fantastic character. Development, his arc, the whole thing in Rebels. Do yourself a favor. I know we're talking Marvel today, but if you have followed us from before and Mandalorian or anything Star Wars and you haven't seen Rebels, go watch Rebels. It's really good.
And Bad Batch has been introducing some characters that appear in Rebels.
It has.
Because that takes place before Rebels, so definitely watch all that.
He sums it up. Says, if y'all need another guest star, please let me know.
I like it.
Keep very doing what y'all are doing. Patrick Bellin.
Okay.
I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay.
Patrick.
I wonder if that's the...
It's either Bellin or Bellon.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the. Remember, I sent you a screenshot of a tweet that T-Bob commented on.
Yeah, I saw that, and I think that is who that is.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome, and thank you for the email, Patrick.
Yeah,
and that is great. You are our second email.
We need more emails.
We need more emails, but
we hear from everybody.
We appreciate anything, any feedback on the show, and I do like the idea of getting some. Rebels highlights, maybe like in the gaps, and we get a gap in between or something, maybe after Book of Boba Fett or somewhere in that range, maybe leading up to it or something like that. We can do some Star Wars stuff. I've always thought that if we, and this is actually because of Patrick's email, I thought it might be a good idea if when we get into Book of Boba Fett and then the next season Mandalorian, anytime a character is in there that is in Rebels or maybe in originally or whatever in Clone Wars, we could reference maybe, hey, if you haven't seen it, go look at this episode of, you know, this first, you know, we could use it kind of a reference point, because then I think it would really grow people's knowledge of these characters, which would make it so much even better. If you watch the reaction videos of people like during the Mandalorian or any of these shows, really, when you see this character, live character that you've only seen either in comics or cartoons or something like that, or even in your imagination, to see them live and walking around it's crazy.
Yeah, Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah, right, like, exactly.
Amazing.
I was floored when I saw her. She was incredible. But I think that would be fun. I think that would help people that maybe don't necessarily know where to start. They don't want to watch the whole series, maybe. I don't know why you wouldn't. You might want to after you start watching a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But to see about some of these characters, Grand Admiral Thrawn, you know, Ezra,
Thrawn.
You know, Kanan, just the whole thing in Rebels. But, Patrick, thank you, man.
That email fired me up,
and I hope you still enjoyed this episode. Sorry if we got a little aggressive.
It happens. I want to give a shout-out to two off the bench, T-Bob Hebert and Jacob Hester, two former LSU football players. I went on their show Monday morning to basically talk with T-Bob about our D&D podcast that dropped Monday, The Night Shift, and got on the show. We started the segment, and T-Bob immediately went into talking about We Have Spoken, because he's just as big of a nerd as
Taylor. Yeah. T-Bob's great.
Yeah, and he was talking to Jacob Hester about it. Jacob's super into Loki right now. He's been watching it.
Right.
And I told T-Bob a while back about our podcast, and like, dude, if you got time, like, I'd love for you to come on with me and the Grim and like just talk with us. His schedule's crazy, so he just recently caught up and binge watched all the episodes leading up to the finale today. And dude, he's been praising it. He was talking about it today on Off the Bench. he was talking about the We Have Spoken podcast. He was talking about it again this morning. So a shout out to him.
That's great, man.
For giving us the love. I'm glad he's enjoying it.
I mean, local people, and that, you know, going back to what Patrick said, you know, LSU people, we appreciate. You know, I'm
you're down an LSU
with,
graduate.
LSU graduate, yeah. But also, it's just nice, you know, to hear from somebody that's listening and enjoying. If you're listening and you want to drop us a line, it's wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com. If you don't want us to read your email, you can mark it in there, and we'll probably still read it.
Yeah, we'll probably still read it. Also, shout out to Jada Cody. He's been enjoying the podcast as well. He's been listening to it on his way to work at Government Taco. He loves the dynamic that we have and how we just go full-on geek, because Jay was never really a big comic book guy. So when we do our deep dives and talk about references, he loves that. So,
well, I mean, you can love these episodes and not have any knowledge about comics.
No, absolutely.
Because they're not basing it off of some preconceived knowledge about these characters. They're explaining these characters and this story as it goes. So you don't have to have that knowledge. We just happen to have that knowledge.
Yeah, and the cool thing is about it, though, you get that interested and invested in these stories. It makes you want to go and like, let me go to a bookstore, and if there's a graphic novel, there's references of this and that. You do some research on Google, and you know what to go back and read, and you start diving into that. Because the problem is, forever, and still I have friends that think this, they think comic books is for kids. Like, it's just, you know, it's just the funny pages or whatever. There's really serious and super cool stories. Like, the Marvel comics are basically storyboards for the MCU. Like, pulling these stories, I went back and started reading the Winter Soldier storyline in the Captain America comics, because I never read it when it came out, because at that point I wasn't in the comics anymore. I'd gotten out of it. And literally reading it and reading lines that I saw in the movie, or scenes that they pulled directly from the comic into the movie, was blowing my mind. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, they really invested into the source material to pull ideas and things from that.
Well,
so,
why wouldn't you?
No, exactly. It's there for you.
Why wouldn't you? That is as exhaustive as a backlog of information as you could possibly ask for. And I think it's great. And I'm really, you know, enjoying it. And be honest, the series are almost better than the movies. And I say that only because, as somebody who was a comic reader first, these storylines took more than one sitting.
Yeah.
You know, you go see a movie and you see an entire storyline, but you don't know that in the comics it took 30 chapters or, yeah, you know, 30 episodes or whatever to get there.
You get one issue a month. Yeah. And it's like one issue a whole year.
And then you got to wait fucking 30 more days for what happens next.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of like the series a little bit, because they're able to really flesh out some of the story.
Yeah.
Into more of what you would say as a comic fan.
It's very episodic and just,
right,
the comics are.
Exactly. As a comic fan, you get to deep dive into these things more than you would in a 2-hour movie, even in a 2-hour movie. I mean, yeah, you know, sure.
It's tough. Before we get out of here, before we wrap up our final episode of season 3, have you seen Black Widow yet? Nope, not yet.
I have not yet.
Okay. No. All right. So we won't talk about that. I enjoyed it. Thought it was really good. Better than I expected it to be. Really funny.
I've heard a lot of good reviews. I think the only thing that anyone ever really brought up was the timing of when it was released.
Yeah, I mean, what can you
do? And you can't do anything about that, obviously. It sucks. But, you know, I heard somebody say, and I haven't seen the movie, so I'm trying not to do too much in spoilers or anything like that, but somebody said that this really should have come out, like, as a standalone before Infinity War.
It would have been, because it would fit in nicely, because that's basically, it takes place between Civil War and Infinity War. So it would have been a nice little segue. And obviously Marvel wasn't thinking about that, I guess, and just decided.
Well, I mean, frankly, I think they probably thought that a standalone, you know, Black Widow movie wouldn't hold. But the problem with that is, that's dumb.
Yeah.
She's one of the original Avengers. She's, yeah, no powers, but come on, man. I mean, world-class assassin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
She deserves, and I'm glad that they got, you know, man, flesh the fucking universe out. It's there for the taking, man.
Well, now that this has been so successful, I mean, it made $215 million worldwide in its opening weekend. Made right. $80 million here in the States. It made $60 million on Disney Plus from the premier access. Disney has never released numbers for anything like that, and they released those numbers, $60 million on Disney Plus. It got $30 from Christian. Before I could buy it, Christian couldn't wait. He bought it, so
right,
we have it. And I've watched me and my roommate watched it the other night. Still holds up on a second viewing. Really, really good. The after credits scene's pretty damn cool.
I will see. I will watch it. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not.
I just didn't know if you'd gotten to it
yet. Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet. I see all the Marvel. I see all of it. I watch all of it. You know, I don't. I'm not a. Oh, I only like this character. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So this wraps up season 3 of the We Have Spoken podcast, covering the series Loki, which I believe to be the best Marvel series so far. They've crushed it. Every episode was just fantastic. What If will be the next series coming out in August, Mike? I mean, we got to do it.
Oh, sure, 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 sure.
And this one's going to be a little easier to do, because it's not going to be one long story. It's going to be, I think, 8 episodes, maybe 10.
Yeah, they're all going to be standalone.
And they're standalone. So these will be easier for us to talk about.
Yeah, the only speculation you would have is maybe whatever beyond the end of that story. Not like next episode will be, you know, or whatever. So I'm excited for it. The trailer looks great.
It looks amazing. The art, the animation looks insane. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of remember the MTV Spider-Man cartoon they did?
Yeah.
With Neil Patrick Harris, he was Peter Parker.
Right.
That style of animation is very similar to that, but it just looks more fluid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, what they can do now is just, it's leaps and bounds beyond when we were watching cartoons as kids.
Yep, it's unreal. But we'll be back in August for season 4 of the We Have Spoken podcast. We will cover the Marvel animated series, their first animated series for Disney Plus, What If. I'm super excited about it. So for Michael Grimion, thank you, brother.
Hey, man.
For doing this with me.
I'm only slightly still angry at you.
You'll get over it. Don't forget, send us the emails. Give us your comments. WeHaveSpokenPod23@gmail.com. Until next time. Michael Grimion, I'm Chuck P. This has been the We Have Spoken podcast. This is the way.